Today, the Reserve Bank cuts as expected. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. So, the RBA has reduced the cash rate by 0.25% today, as expected. Further signs of a weakening economy exposed to the international risks which are rising. Given the BBSW has moved towards the banks in recent times, there is absolutely no excuse not to pass the full cut on to existing borrowers, but the question of course is, will they? And the RBA says that we'll continue to look at the labour figures, which suggests the rise in unemployment, which we expect, will lead to more rate cuts ahead. The Aussie dollar rate rose, which is not what the RBA intended. And this is because news out of the US is suggesting that the Fed is likely to cut rates there too. So it's a race to the bottom. Of course, the Reserve Bank wants to drop the exchange rate to import inflation and also to import greater amounts of Aussie dollars into the local economy to help support its efforts. But it's worth looking at what the Reserve Bank said today. At its board meeting, the board decided to lower the cash rate by 25 basis points to 1.25%. The board took this decision to support employment growth and provide greater confidence that inflation will be consistent with the medium-term target. The outlook for the global economy remains reasonable, although the downside risks stemming from the trade disputes have increased. Growth in international trade remains weak, and the increased uncertainty is affecting investment intentions in a number of countries. In China, the authorities have taken steps to support the economy while addressing risks in the financial system. In most advanced economies, inflation remains subdued, unemployment rates are low, and wage growth has picked up. Global financial conditions remain accommodative. Long-term bond yields and risk premiums are low, and in Australia, long-term bond yields are at historically low levels. Bank funding costs have also declined further, with a money market spread having fully reversed the increases that took place last year. The Australian dollar has depreciated a little over the past few months and is at the low end of its narrow range of recent times. The central scenario remains for the Australian economy to grow by around 2.75% in 2019 and 2020. This outlook is supported by increased investment in infrastructure and a pickup in activity in the resources sector, partially in response to an increase in the price of Australia's exports. The main domestic uncertainty continues to be the outlook for household consumption, which is being affected by a protracted period of low income growth and declining housing prices. Some pickup in growth in household disposable income is expected, and this should support consumption. Employment growth has been strong over the past year. Labour force participation has been increasing. The vacancy rates remains high, and there are reports of skills shortages in some areas. Despite these developments, there has been little further inroads into the spare capacity in the labour market of late. The unemployment rate has been steady at around 5% for some months, but ticked up to 5.2% in April. The strong employment growth over the past year or so has led to a pickup in wages growth in the private sector, although overall wages growth remains low. A further gradual lift in wages growth is expected, and this would be a welcome development. Taken together, these labour market outcomes suggest that the Australian economy can sustain a lower rate of unemployment. The recent inflation outcomes have been lower than expected and suggest subdued inflationary pressures across much of the economy. Inflation is still, however, anticipated to pick up and will be boosted in the June quarter by increases in petrol prices. The central scenario remains for underlying inflation to be 1.75% this year, 2% in 2020, and a little higher after that. The adjustment in established housing markets is continuing, after the earlier large run-up in prices in some cities. Conditions remain soft, although in some markets the rate of price decline has slowed and auction clearance rates have increased. Growth in housing credit has also stabilised recently. Credit conditions have been tightened and the demand for credit by investors has been subdued for some time. Mortgage rates remain low and there is strong competition for the borrowers of high credit quality. Today's decision to lower the cash rate will help make further inroads into the spare capacity in the economy. It will assist with faster progress in reducing unemployment and achieve more assured progress towards the inflation target. The board will continue to monitor developments in the labour market closely and adjust monetary policy to support sustainable growth in the economy and the achievement of the inflation target over time. So there's a couple of observations to underscore. The first is they are still targeting the inflation range of 2 to 3%, but they're also looking at the labour market. Secondly, they clearly want to import inflation. And of course, a lower Aussie dollar would help to do that. But the question is, will that happen if other central banks around the world are also cutting their rates? And it becomes a race to the bottom. We discussed this in our post yesterday. Now, of course, we don't know yet whether the 25 basis point cut will be passed on by the banks. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But of course, it does signal lower returns for those holding deposits in the bank. And that's more than 3 million households who are dependent or totally dependent on income from deposits. So that means that they're going to be forced not to get returns from their capital, but are going to have to chew up their capital to live. And that's a very unsatisfactory outcome in my view. Of course, the problem is that everybody fixates on the section of the economy that relates to mortgages, and that's around 3 million households, plus those who are investing, so over 4 million in total. And those 3 million people who have money in the bank are going to have to decide whether they can get away with lower returns on that deposit, or whether they need to shift money out of security of bank deposits into higher risk investments, which of course can lead to trouble later. And I'm very concerned about the myopic nature of thinking in Australia, whereby everybody is talking about property and mortgages, but savers get a very raw deal. And there is a reason why this is the case, and that is that savers, rather than spenders, are not welcomed by the Reserve Bank, because the Reserve Bank wants economic activity and people to spend. And people who are saving for their own requirements later are actually not valued at all. And that's a great shame. And thirdly, you have to ask the question again, and again, we discussed this yesterday, is inflation targeting in the current climate appropriate, given the fact that around the world, banks who've tried this have failed? Seems to me that our central bank is following a flawed recipe and the Japanization of our economy is almost certain down the track. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.